No, we're good. I saw Dave up there move, and maybe he hit the wrong button or something. All right? Anyway, I want you to think about this little seed thought concerning positivity. Occasioned by your refusal and mine to put down roots in this world. If we put roots down here with everything that we see going on around us, understandable why a person would be forlorn, dismal, and depressed even. But I want to give you four things tonight that we find in God's Word that, when put together, not only encourage us to put our treasure elsewhere and put our roots down where they'll last, but along the way, if you are able to meditate on them, dwell upon them every day, they can bring a different, brighter perspective to life. In John chapter 14, first several verses, we want to just put out that there is for us a prepared place. A prepared place. We read in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place, a literal place, a literal place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that there ye may be also." Interesting to me and comforting at the same time, the many repetitions of the word "you," because there is to be a personal occupation of this literal place on your part. You're going to take up residence personally in this place that the Lord is preparing. And the blessing to this also is found in the third verse, that where I am, there ye may be also. There is the added, very significant blessing of occupying the place, the literal place that Jesus is preparing for us with Him. And then, if you want to underscore for emphasis, the last few words in Psalm 23 underscore the truth that we find here. David could not possibly have known what you know about this place. But he sang in that psalm that he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now again, David had in mind something different than you have in mind, but only because you have additional revelation that he did not have. And so the first thing that we want to point out this evening is concerning this prepared place, that whenever you're done on earth, whenever you've reached your last day, you have somewhere to go. You have somewhere to go. Now that may or may not mean anything to you, but depending on where you've got your roots put down. If your roots are here on earth, then it probably doesn't mean a whole lot. If your roots are not established here on earth, but in heaven, where your treasure is, then the very prospect of having somewhere to go after you're done here should be an encouragement. Secondly, Hebrews 11 and verse number 16. Hebrews 11, 16. Abraham, Sarah, and the old patriarchs, matriarchs. We find in verse 16, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he, and then secondly note, he hath prepared for them a city. Prepared a city. Now, do you realize how great the reversal will be in the hearts and desires of redeemed people at this time? Very I mean, I know that we see some trends, demographic trends, on the internet that lead one to believe that many people are opting to move back into the city who once were country dwellers because of the ease of access to everything that people need without having to get in a car and go anywhere. But the thing that you and I need to be aware of the fact is that we are going to have to become city dwellers. And when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, what he had in mind literally was what we see described in Revelation chapter 21. There you have this defined and described for us the holy city, the great city where we will go to dwell. A massive, simply, I mean, if you do the calculations in Revelation, a massive place that is, as I understand it, is to be suspended by the power of God above the earth itself in during the millennial reign, our dwelling place. You know, Revelation 21, probably verse 2, through right to the end of the chapter, describes this city built by God. But here in the 10th verse, it says, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations. And I thought to myself, well, you can't help but read Revelation chapter 21 and note the numerous repetitions of the foundations embedded in gems and various valuable items. And so this prepared city is something that, if you think about it now, no matter what kind of a place you live in, no matter where you live in now, a change is coming. And there will be a time when you and I go to dwell in the place, a literal place, in a literal city that God has built for us. Then there's another thing in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, toward building a positive perspective. Matthew 25. Verse 34, we have a prepared kingdom. A prepared kingdom. A reference to the millennial kingdom, to be sure. And here we have verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. A prepared kingdom. Now, there are a couple of places that give us just a little bit of insight as to what our life will be consumed in doing at that time. I know that sometimes people get a very very foggy notion of their life in heaven. It's sort of like endlessly sipping Pepsi Colas and eating hamburgers under the celestial palm trees with nothing else to do in the world. But in Revelation 1, verse 6, you and I must understand that in the millennial kingdom, the kingdom prepared for us, we will be kings and priests. And our responsibilities, as I understand it then, will be commensurate with our degree of faithfulness here on earth now. Kings and priests is way John the Apostle describes it in Revelation 1:6. The Apostle Paul, however, mentions something too in trying to solve a dispute among members of the church in Corinth. He chided them as he reminded them of this truth in 1 Corinthians 6:2, where he said, Do ye not know that you shall judge angels? And so there's going to be some... There's going to be need even in the millennial kingdom for judicial application to the society then, because after all, there are going to be sinners born to human beings in the millennial reign who survive or come out of the tribulation period. And as the time spirals onward and onward, the population will grow, and so it's going to be necessary that the saints have a role in the administration of the kingdom, prepared kingdom for us. So when we think about this, we not only have some place to go when we're done here, but we also have a purpose. There, we have something to do when we get there. And so whatever notions you may have entertained about what life will be like in heaven, forget the retirement mode. There will always be service to render unto God for eternity. In this particular case, we get a little bit of insight. Now, with that said, with knowing that we have some place to go and we're going to have something to do, look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. With all that being the case, in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 22, it is the correlation to Matthew 6. You know, the place where seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. It's the same passage of scripture. But here it is said, take no thought for your life. Why? Well, when I'm done here, I have somewhere to go. When I'm finished here, I'll have something to do. Okay? So take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, for your body, what you shall put on. Life is more than to me. Then he says, consider the ravens. The ravens. And when you look at them, they neither sow. Ravens do not plant their own crops. And they don't plant their own crops, and they are not able to reap anything. Ravens are totally dependent on their human benefactors. Whatever they get to eat, somebody gives them. Something has been left for them. It says, they have neither storehouse nor barn, but God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? The fowls. And then it talks about, consider the lilies. The only reason that they grow from root through the stem to the flowers, because God has wired that into the plant's DNA. It says, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothed the grass, which today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, of little faith? So it comes back down again to this. Where do you have your roots put down at? Or, verse 34 says, what about your treasure? Where is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there's where your heart's going to be. And if your heart is embedded on planet Earth, you're setting yourself up for dismal, gloomy, forlorn hopelessness day by day. But if you're able to see beyond what is now and realize that when my life is over here, I have some place to go, God is going to give me something to do in a prepared kingdom. And please note, too, the attitude on the part of God with relative to this kingdom. Verse 32 says, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Here's a kingdom that men won't have to fight for. Most kingdoms change hands from generation to generation because somebody loses a war or somebody gets bought out. Here's the kingdom that God is giving you. And with that in mind, James chapter 2, verse 5, we see a promised kingdom. A promised kingdom. James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs, key word, heirs. How many of you tonight, as you sit here, know for certain, absolutely certain, that you are heirs to something? You got any rich relatives? You're an heir, an heirette. Huh? You never know till the time comes, buddy. Yes. Verse number 5, heirs of the kingdom. which he hath promised to them that love him. Here's a promised kingdom. Prepared already, underway, but it's promised to them that love him. And a little point of reference you might want to scare up on your own time is in Romans 8:17, where it says, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And all that God possesses. Now, what is it that the creator of heaven and earth doesn't possess? What is not his? And when we're joint heirs with Christ, what is it that Christ possesses? What's on his asset sheet that is not ours as well? And so if you are able to think that through and its practical implications, it can't but help put a bright, positive perspective to the way you live each day. I've got somewhere to go when I'm done here. I'm going to have something to do when I get there. And I'm going to have something all my own that can be never taken away. I'm never going to have to worry about it leaving or changing hands. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 talks about that inheritance that you have coming. Three things it says about this inheritance. It doesn't make any difference, Shane, if your mother leaves you a bag of gold, silver, precious gems. Doesn't make any difference at all if she leaves you all that stuff, because everything in the bag can't compare to what's in verse 4. This inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, everybody today is hot after gold, which is why the price of gold is so high. But I want to say something to you that the price of gold or the price of silver, which is relatively high too, is only valuable because somebody believes it to be a treasure. In the instance that gold would become so readily abundant, it would not be. You could have a ton of gold, but if everybody beside you had a ton of gold too, what's it worth? What are you going to buy with something that everybody else has? You know? And this inheritance that we're talking about that's reserved in heaven is incorruptible, undefiled, it fades not away, which means it never will fluctuate in its essential, eternal value. And it'll never change hands. It's yours. Your Father who does not lie promised to give you the inheritance. So, again, your positive perspective is only occasioned by your refusal to put roots down on planet Earth and a refusal to put your treasure here on Earth. If you're able to lift your sights, things look a little bit different. Our dear Lord, thank you for these promises. Thank you for what all we have to look forward to. The greatest blessing of all will not be our circumstances or our surroundings, but the greatest blessing of all will be to spend eternity with you. We look forward to that. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus, ever listening for the trumpet, ever desiring to be in his presence. Until then, Lord, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.